Hey guys, Cliff from Capes and Scows here with
Olivia.
And we just got done watching Jessica Jones season 2 on Netflix. So I thought maybe we should record us talking about it.
So yeah, we'll just we haven't actually talked to each other about how we felt about it, so we just decided to we'll share our thoughts right now for the first time.
And assume spoilers are coming. So if you haven't finished it, leave now and come back later. Because I'm most likely going to spoil things. I just know that. So this is your last warning. If you haven't turned away now, you're going to hear that David Tennant shows up. And I really enjoyed all that. So now that that's out of the way, what's like your overall feeling for the season?
I thought, I guess as overall, I thought it was okay. I thought I was on par with most of every other like Marvel thing that's on Netflix. Comparing it to season one, they really went more in depth into Jessica's backstory, which I really liked. There's a whole lot more complicated character development, especially with her mother coming back from the dead and her best friend slash sister, Trish.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting how they made those two characters in particular, like, really complicated. Like, you really want to like them, but they're doing things that
it makes it really hard to like them.
Yeah.
So for myself, just as, like, some back, like, previous info, I have a hard time choosing which original Marvel series Netflix show is my favorite. If somebody says Daredevil is their favorite, I'm not going to argue with them. If they say Jessica Jones is their favorite, I'm not going to argue with them. I lean more towards, of the original first seasons, Jessica Jones is my favorite. Just comparing season one to season two, I don't think season two is as good as season one. That's not to say I didn't like, I enjoyed this season. But what I feel like this season really lacked was a true antagonist. Because throughout I was like, well, who's the actual bad guy? And like, for a little while I thought, oh, well, they're going to have Trish's fiance, Griffin, be the bad guy. Like, it's the underlying secret bad guy that's like there, nice, polite, everyone likes him. It's going to end up being him.
Yeah.
And then he's just like kind
of... first half of the season, they start hinting, like... he's planning something, he's hiding something.
Right.
When the whole time he was just planning a surprise proposal to Trish.
Right. And, I get that her... So then, like, they introduce her mother, and you're kind of like, how did she not recognize her own mom? Like, granted, 17 years has passed from the last time she saw her mother to present time when it takes place. And they kind of end an episode on, like, this giant plot hole of... I'd assume if I didn't see my mom for 17 years, I'd still recognize her.
You still recognize some aspect, portion of her.
Right.
Whether it's like how she looks or her voice or something. So mannerisms.
I think it's like episode 6, they end, and you're like, she just met her mom and she had no idea who her mom was?
Yeah.
Like, what? But then they instantly cleared up in the following episode, which is fine. So her mom's had basically an entire body transplant, like face transplant, and everything from an accident that was caused. So her mom's been through the same like treatment that Jessica went through, but numerous times. So she's like actually a lot stronger than Jessica and everything. So it's really like a real threat, but she's a threat. But then they play her off as like nice and trying to be better. So for me, I feel like the season ended like kind of hollow and empty because there was no true villain.
Mm-hmm.
And that that bothered me. Like, everyone's at some point or other played the role of antagonist, but nobody was truly set in that role.
Yeah. I kind of liked that aspect of it, because I guess it's different from the norm, I think, and kind of makes the show more interesting, because you're not sure who to like and who you should be, you know, against. But the whole time, you know, they were really making the mother to be this monster. Here's this monster. She's just as strong, if not more powerful, than Jessica. She gets introduced, you know, she basic, the mother, like, kind of, you know, gets out of her shackles and murders this guy that got, you know, was stealing, was hired by another PI that was stealing Jessica's, you know, information on the case she was working on. The mother killed him just because she's just gets homicidal when her, you know, anger strikes.
She kind of turns into, like, way less powerful Hulk. Like, she hits, you know, like, 200 beats a minute and just zones out and just goes on a rage bender. So, like, he kind of, I feel like, was, like, accidentally killed to, like, yeah, progress, like, that story. For, like, character development, I think the character I enjoyed the most was Malcolm. And, like, he, yeah, I feel like he came a long way, and I really liked him in this. But I kind of feel like they had, like, way too many storylines going and didn't get to flesh them out fully. Like, you had Malcolm looking into the stuff for Hogarth while she was being kicked out. And you had Jessica's mom thing, and then the doctor, and Trish wanting to be Jessica, and Simpson showing up for an episode. I think it was, to me, it felt like a lot of short storylines that they drew out for a little too long.
The part where they could have overdone it a bit, but the fact that they did do it, I think they did wrap it up the best they could.
Yeah, I think they did good for how thin they stretched themselves. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite episode or episodes are the ones that have David Tennant in. And just from, like, us watching it, when that first episode starts, Jessica has just accidentally killed a prison guard that was torturing her mother. It was definitely self-defense. I don't think she intended to kill him. But the next episode starts with, like, her hearing, like, voices in her head. And then at one point, there's a nice hue of purple across the screen. And you hear David Tennant's voice once. And it's just like, oh shit, he's still there. Yeah. And I was disappointed that she killed him at the end of the first season, because I feel like that would be a great villain to keep around. I know I talked about this on, like, the podcast a couple years ago when it had come out, that he, to me, was really, like, the most, like, villainous villain because of his power. Like, he's, like, the creepiest, like, most terrifying villain you could have, because he could really use that power over anyone. Mm-hmm. And, like, Jessica's really just, like, a minor level superpowered person. Could you imagine if he had gotten in Tony Stark's ear with a suit, or gotten in Hulk's ear? You would have had, like, when Scarlet Witch took over Hulk. Mm-hmm. Like, it could have been, like, and David Tennant's, like, such a great actor. I feel like all the parts that he had were great. So for me, that was my favorite part of the whole show. I don't know how you felt about him coming back and just playing sort of, like, the, I guess, like, Tyler Durden-y, like, part where...
It was just showing that he's still in her head, that she doesn't want to be a murderer, and The fact that she had to kill Kilgrave is still haunting her, and that makes her a murderer, and it's just playing off that thing.
Yeah.
Now I do like David Tennant as an actor. I felt the episode he was in was a little bit gratuitous, but I'm still glad they brought him back.
Well, they were like, hey, we have him on set today. Let's ram him in as much as we can.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that because, like, I'm a huge fan of his. I feel like when he's on screen, you're, like, drawn to him. And I guess that's just, like, his personality.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like, some of the other stuff, like, that happened in the season is, like, you have Trish basically falling, like, relapsing. And, yeah, like, falling back into, like, you know, an addict. And basically trying to, like, destroy everything around her.
Yeah. And that was... her character probably disturbed me the most, I think. Out of all of them. Because I think it's... her problems and struggles were so real. And you don't expect someone close to you to be, I guess, like, obsessed with something that they never had, and don't actually understand what they're getting themselves into.
And you can definitely tell, like, so, yeah, she definitely falls back on her, like, addiction ways, and how that can destroy everyone around you, and how, like, when an addict is looking for something, they will do literally anything to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she ends up trying to get, like, Malcolm off the wagon because she thinks it'll end up helping, and she, for lack of a better term, like, whores herself out to him just to get what she needs, which is, like, info or to a place. So it's kind of like a, like, I don't know, she's always come across as a bit pretentious for me. And, like, her mom, as a character, is supposed to bother you, and she really bothers me.
Mm-hmm.
It really annoys me that she always calls her Patsy. I'm like, your daughter's name is Trish.
Yeah.
That was a character she played. That's not who she is anymore. And it's just sort of like, she has to be in the spotlight, or be, like, that person. Like, I feel like if she truly had, like, Jessica's powers, I don't know if she'd be a good guy.
Right. And that's kind of how they're, you know, setting her up to be. So, yeah, who knows?
Which is kind of strange, though, because in the comics, she is a good guy.
Yeah. Like,
but they...
she has the best of intentions, but, like, her, you know...
Right. Where she ends up is not... her,
her actions don't... Right.
Her execution of things
doesn't
always lead the best way.
Yeah.
But they allude to her having powers at the end.
Mm-hmm. Like, she had that quick reflex there with her phone.
Right.
So...
which, I'm not familiar enough with her character in the comic to know if that's what she has.
Yeah, I'm not sure what her powers are.
Right. I don't know if she's just a regular, like, well-trained character. Like, you know, knows martial arts and everything. Is, like, above-average fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Could easily beat up one or two guys, three guys that are, you know, just, like, street thugs because she's well-trained. I don't know if that's where it ends or if she does, you know, move into the powered realm.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's something I can look into to find out.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, all in all, I am happy with the series. I enjoyed it. I mean, to say that it was better than Iron Fist isn't much. But did you notice that they made, like, no mention of anything Defenders? And, like, the only time...
that you pointed out, yeah.
The only time anything outside of Jessica Jones got mentioned was when Hogarth was leaving her law firm, said that she's taking all of her clients and Rand.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only... there's only one instance of the other shows being made mention. Rosario Dawson never shows up.
What's his name shows up? Foggy showed up.
In, like, one scene.
Yeah.
So but he works for Hogarth.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just, like, one of those, well, I guess for me, it's like, well, obviously he's there because he works for her.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's kind of interesting. Like, is Marvel, like, Disney and Netflix, like, ooh, we know Iron Fist and Defenders weren't very well received. Are we just going to kind of, like, push it under the rug?
Maybe.
Which that would kind of be, like, the first for them.
Yeah.
Because they have, like, a great track record for even, like, their bad things still being good. But, like, Iron Fist... I know you didn't watch all of Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
Was utter garbage.
Yeah, I couldn't get through it.
like, just complete and total garbage. So it's like maybe they're, like, a little shy with, you know, bringing stuff up. And concerns of, like, people having, like, an association with, oh, like, oh, this is tied to that. It's going to be garbage, too.
Yeah, so... In the, you know, Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's been easy to tie everything in together so far because everything has been pretty good. But,
Even the bad stuff is still watchable.
Yeah, but now in the, you know, Netflix universe, it's, you know, we had a fall with Iron Fist and then Defenders, but... I guess it's going to be tough for them to kind of course correct and make the brand as a whole good to, like, all together.
Because, like, the collection is so much smaller for the next Netflix shows. So it's really just two seasons of Daredevil. We just finished our second season of Jessica Jones. One season of Luke Cage, one season of Iron Fist, and one season of Defenders. It's only seven seasons. In total. Mm-hmm. And Punisher, 8. So, like, a quarter of them aren't good. Yeah. Or, like, up to standard with everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I, off-tangent again, like, I really liked Punisher.
Yeah, I liked that, too.
I thought that was a really interesting take. Explaining PTSD and how that affected people differently. And, like, more of, like, an accurate portrayal of it.
Mm-hmm.
And how it affects each person individually. So, like, that's, like, another great show. And I guess I need to go back and, like, for myself, re-rank how I put everything. Like, you know, season one of Daredevil, is it better than Punisher and Jessica Jones? Is Jessica Jones season one better than the other two? For myself, I definitely think both Jessica Jones and Punisher in the top five for me. But I haven't worked out an order for it.
I'm not too concerned about where I'm placing everything. I just think it's, you know, Jessica Jones season two, it's worth the watch.
Yeah.
It's good. The storytelling is compelling. You're going to get a lot out of it, storytelling-wise.
There's definitely a lot of character development and delving into, like, issues that the characters had, which is great.
Yeah.
And it helps set up for the future. So, like, not that season one didn't have a lot of story building, but I feel like they slowed down and shoehorned in a lot of character development in this for particular characters.
Hogarth, since she's kind of a fluid character in, you know, each show, sort of, right now. You find out she gets diagnosed with ALS, and, you know, of course, trying to use her power and influence to try and cure herself, and, you know, now she's dealing with this on top of, you know, her, you know, crazy career dealing with, you know, these superpowered people.
And yeah, for her being like a secondary character that like floats between season, they really put a lot of time and effort into developing her.
Yeah.
So like they're really concerned with you understanding the characters, which is good.
I guess that'll be put into use in other shows, maybe.
I would hope.
Mm-hmm.
That it gets used because of how much effort they devoted into it.
Yeah.
I did get a little tired of just, it seemed like she was coming on to everyone that walked near her.
Yeah.
Like, I just got a little tired of that with
yeah,
her.
Yeah, it was, yeah, that was a little overboard.
Right, like, okay, I get it. I get it, you know. She's having, like, I have an incurable disease crisis, and she just tries to sleep with everyone that she comes in contact with. It's kind of how I felt, like, with how much it was there. I'm like, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can...
That was...
Gratuitous.
The most gratuitous thing
yeah.
in the show, yeah.
Because, like, the whole thing with Inez...
Uh-huh.
And then being Inez's boyfriend, like, I kind of got over that.
Like, yeah.
Faster than they got over it. Like, I understand why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like, kind of taught her a lesson. But I feel like that lesson could have been taught in a much quicker way. Like, I feel like that's something that could have been more cut and dry.
Mm-hmm.
And not have as much... Or not have it spread out over as many episodes as it was.
Yeah.
Like, that's my thought on that.
But I guess the point of it was to make Inez and, I guess his name, what was it, Shane. To be much more important characters than
they actually were. Yeah.
So, I think that was the whole point of that.
Yeah.
But.
So, I mean, if you had to give Jessica Jones season 2 a grade on, like, an A through F scale...
Mm-hmm.
What would you give Jessica Jones season 2?
A B, because I think the complexity of it might turn some people off. But overall, I felt it was good.
I'm with her. I'm going to give it a B. I don't think it was great. And I'm mainly giving it a B just due to the lack of a true antagonist and maybe just time spent on stories that weren't as important as developing a real villain. And I mean, that's something we differ on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we both enjoyed it.
Yeah.
For different reasons. We both have issues with it that are different. But, you know, I would definitely recommend it to people to watch. I mean, obviously watch the first season first, if this is your first viewing into it.
Yeah.
Don't jump in. You'll be confused and miss important things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Do you have anything you want to add at the end here?
No, not really. I would say, don't watch if, you know, you don't like violence or, anything like that. But I think it's a good, like probably the grittiest Marvel Netflix show out there.
I think in style, because like Daredevil had a lot of violence and grit.
Yeah.
Punisher, I think they're all different in how they portray it.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that's a discussion for something else, comparing the arguably 3 best series.
Yeah.
For it. So, if you guys like this and want to find more stuff, listen to us talk, check out capesandscalespodcast.com. If you have any comments, email us at capesandscalespodcast@gmail.com. I'm Cliff, and I can be found on Twitter at HyperHippo. There's no E in hyper. And Olivia?
You can find me at SwahiliLove on Twitter and on Instagram at La Civil Okra. And we'll see you guys next time.
Have a good night.